I know, church, that you spend a lot of time in the week praying, and that's a good thing. We need to keep praying. We need to keep in our communication with God, and I want to encourage you this morning to keep praying for our time when we come together on Sunday morning, the worship time. I'm sure many of you prayed this week, and I know I prayed some this week about our worship. And just that our minds are directed and focused on what they need to be focused on. And also pray for my lessons. I believe that as we pray together that I think God will unify our hearts, that our worship will be better this morning. Even though we have a lot of people gone, the singing is fantastic. The worship is wonderful. And who knows, maybe that's a result of the prayers this week from us. But I just want to urge you to keep praying. We need God, don't we? We all need God, every one of us. I've been stressing, especially last week and recently, how everybody needs God. Our nation needs God. That's very obvious. You know, there's a lot of talk in our nation, our world today. We hear it more and more as the times go on, where there's more talk about this world, the things in this world. There's more talk about America or our nation than there is about God. And we need more talk about God. Amen? We need to talk about God. And starting with us, God's people here. And you know, as you think about it, it seems even that there's a lot of hope and a lot of trust that people place in this world, the things of this world. And there are those that even put their trust and their hope in the freedom of our nation. And we all love our freedom. We all know that we need to be responsible for that to continue. We love it. We cherish it. But we also know as God's people and from His Word that that is not our hope and that's not our trust. We trust in God. We trust in His promises. We trust in the promise of what we have after this life when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, returns. We know Jesus Himself even said that His kingdom is not of this world, right? His kingdom is not of our world, of this world. And we're part of that kingdom, church. We are that where God's rule and His reign exist. And so He has called us to live like Jesus in this kingdom. You know, we've always been called to be genuine, authentic Christians. To live the life of Jesus each day, wherever we are. But I think in our times today, right now, that becomes more and more evident to me. That the difference in who's genuine and who's not is in the way that we will react and act in this world and the problems that we face. The things that we're facing in our nation. And how we react to those things. How I respond to those things. Because there's a way God wants us to respond. We need God. But you know what? God wants not only us, He wants everybody. That's the wonderful plan that we know in Jesus. If you take the scriptures, all 66 books, go from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation, you find the simple truth that God wants to redeem everybody. That God wants a relationship with all people, the worst of people. That's who He wants. He didn't just want us, church. His love was not just limited to the saved people of this world, but to the world. And this is why He wants His plan for Jesus to be told of redemption of all man. And we find at the very center and heart of it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 that God desires all men to be saved. His desire is for all men to be saved, not just some, all men. Why? Because they're His. They are His creation, made in His image. He desires all to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. But we know man and sin in his sin has separated himself from God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death in chapter 6, verse 23. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter gets up and he preaches and he said, listen, but in every nation, the man or the one who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The one who fears God and does what is right is welcome to him. So God wants all. But we need God. We not only need God, we need people. And I think we know that life is about people. It is about relationships. If we were to remove those relationships from our life, we wouldn't have much, would we? We wouldn't have much. So what I want to do this morning, I just want to share four ways that we can make the most of our life today. As we are living in a time, we need God. We know we need God. How can I live today? Four ways to make the most of it. Four ways. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. Very simple. Number one, we're going to focus on God. Number two, we're going to focus on family. Number three, the book. Number four, the people. God, family, the book, people. That's pretty easy to remember. We need to, number one, stay close to God. Stay close to God. We need to purposefully draw near to God, don't we? We need to purposefully take time to draw near to God. Turn to James chapter 4. James, in his practical book of wisdom, will touch on this very thought. Purposefully drawing near to God and purposefully seeking eternal life. James will say in chapter 4 and verse 7, submit therefore to God, that we can submit to Him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So we have the promise that our God is always ready to draw near to us. We have a close God. We have a loving God. James says, through the Spirit of God, draw near to God, and the promise is He'll draw near to you. We have that promise. We know that that will come, as I mentioned earlier, through prayer. How do we, as the song says, near to the heart of God? How do we get near to the heart of God? But through our prayer life, our communication with our Father. We've got to stay close to God, and the way we do that is purposefully draw near to God. And secondly, purposely seek eternal life. In John 17, Jesus is praying, and he's going to pray about the disciples and the rest of the world and their unity, that they can influence the world in their unity. And in chapter 17, 3, Jesus says in his prayer, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you sent. So Jesus says that eternal life is to know God and to know me. Now, I think we understand that this isn't just knowing of the information of God and Jesus. That this isn't, as we say, isn't a head knowledge, but it's a heart knowledge. It's a relationship. Somebody said this speaks of intimacy, and someone said it's into me you see. You see, God wants us to look into Him and see Him, to draw near to Him, to see His ways and understand His ways and to live according to those ways. So how do we make the most of the times? We stay close to God. Secondly, we stay close to family. Stay close to family. Those of you who are older, really, I think, know this. You ever say, where does the time go? Where is time going? I was telling someone this morning, I feel like I'm on a boat in a fast drifting stream, and I'm just trying to keep the bow of it going straight. It's just going, rushing by. Where is it going? I think it was, I'm not sure, it might have been Ron and Stacy who I was talking to earlier this week, and I think it was Ron and Stacy who said, we were last week watching videos of our kids when they were younger, and Ron was like, man, what happened? The little girl, Kiana and Sarah and Carly are going to camp together, their first year together, going, where is it all going? Time is just flying by. And we know Scripture speaks to this, that life is but a vapor. James does. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. How do we stay close to our family? I know it has to be purposeful, intentional. We've got to block out time, don't we, for our family, for one another. We've got to shut off our distractions. I don't know what your distractions are. I have plenty of distractions, and I know I have to purposefully turn those distractions off to spend time with the people that matter most. And I want to urge you to do that. To make the most of your time today. Block out time. I don't know how much time you need. You figure that out. Block out time for your family. Shut off the distractions, whatever they are, and spend some time together. And not only your family, but your church family. We need each other. I need you, church. I need you. We need each other. You used to hear people say, "Give me Jesus, but not the church." But that doesn't work. That's a man-made thought and a man-made idea. You can't have Jesus and not have the church. That's old. That's not the good news. That's old news, right? It's no news at all, really. Paul will say to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5:23, husbands, as he compares the church and in a marriage relationship, husbands are the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. We know Paul in his Corinthians letter will talk about the body too and how we're all part of the body and we work together as the body. You just can't, according to the Word of God, sever those two things. We need each other. Stay close to your church family. Here's some suggestions. Some suggestions for myself to start with, how we can stay closer to each other. Number one, show some selflessness. Show some selflessness. You know what? Life is not about me. I am not the center of the universe. And we know that we aren't. God is. And God's ways are. And His church is His interest. Listen to what Paul said. Go to Philippians chapter 2. The topic of selflessness. We live in a self-centered world, don't we? It feeds us ourselves and our own selfish ways every day. It speaks to those things, our own desires. And then we come to the Word of God and it just shows us something so different. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says to the church, Philippi verses 3 and 4, Paul says, and he's talking about being like Christ. He says, listen, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he'll talk about have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ. The greatest example of a selfless life. We've got to stay close to our family. We've got to stay close to our church family. How are we going to do that one way? Show a little bit of selflessness. Number two, show some interest. Show some interest in one another. Call someone, text someone. We have means to communicate today more than ever before. And yet, do you ever feel more disconnected today than ever before? Isn't that all? We have more ability to communicate right now than ever before in human history. And to be more connected. And yet sometimes, church, and it's partly my fault, I feel disconnected from you. That's odd. We got to show interest. We got to, in our own circle of influence, reach out to somebody. And, you know, research has been done. There's all kinds of research on the happiest people in the world. You know who they are? Most of them? Those that are doing things for other people. It's just a physiological thing. It's something that happened. The Word of God speaks to that. I got something, or we got something in an email. You are invited. A tiny Bible study for girls. Now, I promise you that wasn't an invitation for me, okay? Tiny Bible study. It just came in the mail. I want to share this with you. It's got the location, the date, the time, what to bring. Bring your Bible, bring play clothes, a friend. Proverbs 16, this is the topic, verse 24, kind words are like honey. July 15th, and then it says, call this number. Your friends at the bottom, Jennifer, Sarah, Claire, and Emma. Now, isn't that cool? This is worth talking about. This is worth talking about. This is about showing interest in people's lives. This is about not being selfless. And again, not an invitation for me, but my daughter, okay? But I think we need to do more things like that. We really do. Show selflessness. Show interest. And sometimes we just need to show up. We do. Our family's here. And of course, this isn't the only place we meet. And this shouldn't be. And it's not the only time we meet together. I know some of us come from a long distance. And you know that. I know some people, they work during the week when we come together and other things. But I think some of us, we could just show up, couldn't we? We could. To encourage, to love, to help, to support, to build faith, to build relationships, to connect. Because we're all trying to get home. We're all trying to get home. And the church is to help one another get home. You know, Wednesday night we started our summer series, and Sam Pace came from Northwest, had a simple lesson, but a good lesson, very practical lesson. It's on the parables. And I had singing. I introduce each speaker. When they're done, as a church, we support them. We give them a check to encourage them. But you know, when I got up Wednesday night, there weren't very many people here. Just a handful. I felt kind of strange. And again, this is, some of you can't be here. You have to work this out with God and yourself. But some of us can. I encourage you to be here. I encourage you to show up. Stay close to God. Stay close to your family. Stay close to the book. And that's all part of what we're talking about. Life is fading. Your life is fading, and so is mine. But you know the Word of God is not. And is our life connected to that? Because the Word of God, God's Word abides forever. That is what we are told. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. Listen to how Peter put it. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Peter says the same thing, just worded. He says it a little bit differently. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. Peter says, for all flesh is like grass, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You know, I believe we have this book today, our Bible. Some of you have them on your phones. It is here today, 2015, and we are reading it because it is an enduring word. Go back and look at history and all those kings and people who tried to do away with the word of God, and we have it today. Because the word of God endures forever. They can take it out of nations, they can take it out of classrooms, they can take it out of places, but God's word stands forever. And we got to be close to that word. We got to be in that word that saves us, shapes us, supports us, sustains us, church. James says in chapter 1, verse 21, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. You have received it. The psalmist said, treasure it in your heart that you don't sin against God. Psalm 119 and verse 11. It's one of the ways we make the most of our time. And fourthly, stay close to people. And what do I mean by this, stay close to people? This is our influence, right? The Great Commission still is true, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, that idea is not to go to a specific place, but as you go, where are you? Where are you going this week? Well, I'm going over here and I'm going over there. I got to go to work. Wherever you go, as you go, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. Who am I around besides my family? Who are my acquaintances that I regularly speak to? Because remember, God loves them and wants them as well. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5. How many times have we been taught Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14? The disciples' relation to the world. What is our relation to the world? He says, verse 13, and it hasn't changed. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As disciples, we've got to let our light shine, and we've got to be the salt of the earth. Jesus is speaking to influence in the world. A preacher friend of mine, and I'm going to close with this. He posted this, and I thought, boy, this is so right on. He said, our Lord told us that as His followers, we are to let our light shine in the world. We are to allow the light of Christ to shine through us. The big question is, are we obscuring the light of Christ? Some Christians seem to want to overshadow the light of Christ by their own life. They seem to somehow want their own light to shine brighter than the light of the Savior. Some people brighten every corner where they stand. Others seem to be able to brighten an entire room by walking out. The greater gift is to be able to leave the world a little brighter than we found it, to make sure the light of Christ remains when we are no longer present. Will the light of Christ remain when we are no longer present? So how can we make the most of it this week? Stay close to God. Very simple lesson. Stay close to family, your immediate family, and the church. Stay close to the book, and stay close to people. Be an influence. Remember, as we've already said, God loves the world. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For men to know that their sin separates them from God, and God has given in Jesus the plan to redeem through His blood. We can come to Him by faith. Peter says, listen to those who are responsible for the cross in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, that message is for you. That message is for all. I don't know how else to put it. God loves the world, and He loves you no matter what. Take this time, respond to Him this morning if you haven't. As we stand, as we sing, would you come? In the dead.